Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter, for the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational. Now here's your host, Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Welcome in. I am Del Olalea, and I'm in a place where, you know, when you dream of doing radio, when you're at home, or at least when I was at home in my room in Long Beach, California, listening to, for whatever reason, San Diego Sports Talk and thinking, this is what I want to do, the thought was at some point to be in front of just a bunch of dudes warming up on the putting green as they get ready for the Occasional Invitational. Yes, that's a very specific dream, and it has come true. I'm here at Highland Pines, and we are here benefiting Kids Meals. If you want to check out the site, go to kidsmealsinc.org. It's a great charity. We're out here benefiting them. Thanks to Carbach for sponsoring, along with Gentle Ben, and Cypress Trail Hideouts providing lunch. Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage will provide dinner. And we've got multiple companies sponsoring the holes. We'll get into that a little bit later. Jeremy Branham's walking around. Just saw him. Joe George is in the building. He's not playing golf, particularly because he's not dressed to play golf. Apparently, T-shirts and backwards hats, you can't do that. So I won't be on the course, for anybody wondering. I will simply watch people warm up. But Sean's back in the studio. Sean, did you want to come out here, Sean? Because it is warm and it's humid and it's just a bunch of bros in, let's say, less than fashionable shirts getting ready to tee off.
Well, I don't know why you have to go at their shirts like that.
It's not all the bros.
Okay.
It's just some of them.
Some of them. You know, as much as you're trying to sell me on it, at the hard sell that you're giving with the
yeah.
distance and mosquito talk, there's certain times where I don't mind my role as having to do the board op duty while we're on the all-day remotes.
Yeah, as he mentioned, we're going to be out here all day. Started with John and Lance, it'll be me, then Gallant and George, and then the Killer Bees. And half, like I said, half the Killer Bees are already out here. He'll get, I don't know who Jeremy's playing with, but he's out here and ready to go. Adorned in an Astros hat, I think an Astros polo. Me without a polo, I'm not going to play. I'll just try to keep you as entertained as possible as we go through the day. What happened last night for the Astros? Not good. Fromber, not good. And it's an interesting conversation to come out of that game when we're talking about Fromber going rogue. And I don't know how often that becomes a discussion, maybe because generally baseball is so regimented that you do what you do and follow the game plan all the time. You never go against what the pitching coach has decided. You never go what against the catcher's calling. But we know Fromber's been around quite a bit. So certainly Verlander has as well. And if you want to put the last two losses in this hot streak on those guys being stubborn, you might be right. Justin Verlander and his epic, at least his epic attempt to get Contreras out, kept going with the fastball until Contreras eventually took him deep. And then Fromber gave up three home runs in one inning. He was felt like he was cruising until the moment he decided, nah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do what the game plan asked for. I don't know if he was screaming Leroy Jenkins in his head the whole time, but he just decided this is what I want to do. Sometimes you get tired of being told what to do. We all do, and it felt like Fromber at that point felt, I'm cruising. Let me go and let me do what I want, and it turned into a disaster. You have quotes from Fromber after the game discussing the situation and saying, yeah, Ryaner called a great game, called good pitches. I just decided I wanted to do what I wanted to do. We had Joe Espada saying, yes, that went against the game plan. And I guess it's more obvious to see when you're watching football. You'll see a quarterback check into something else, and if it doesn't go right, he'll have to explain why he did what he did. Or if it goes great, sometimes the coach will give all credit to the quarterback for doing it. In this case, the Astros openly discussed Fromber's unwillingness to follow the plan. And I don't remember a time like this, particularly because of how well it was going before. The Astros had put up a crooked number. Dubon had a great night. They were leading. It felt like they were going on to win the first game of this series as they are trying to close out the home stand strong. And now we got questions about do they trust Jiner? Are Fromber and Verlander guys who are going to push back on Jiner going forward? I don't know. Is it just a simple case of stubbornness or a guy who lost his head for an inning? We know Fromber, when things don't go well, he turns into a guy who can fall apart pretty quickly. But this felt like something different, at least according to the Astros. This felt like a guy who decided in that half inning that I'm just going to be me. There's a line in a song that's very popular right now that sometimes you just got to pop out and show people. I can't use the word that Kendrick uses because of, you know, family radio, but it felt like Fromber wanted to just pop out and show people who he was. And instead of doing what he's supposed to, he decided to do what he wanted to, and it resulted in a disaster. Yiner Diaz, when asked about it, his quotes are here. I could try to force him to throw a certain pitch, but he knows how he feels and how his pitches feel. He makes the decision. This is the first time this has happened, but maybe me as a catcher, I should have forced him more to throw certain pitches. So you have the catcher in question openly discussing what he might need to do. And can he be a guy who forcefully tells a veteran like Fromber, you're going to follow my lead? And it's just not Jiner. It's a game plan from the organization, at least from the pitching coach, Joe Espada. This is how they wanted to attack these Angels hitters. And for whatever reason, your starter decided, nah, that's not what I'm interested in. So I'm trying to think. John, I'm a noted baseball guy, obviously, and you are too. Can you remember a time where this became such a obvious point of discussion after a game?
I really can't. And it's so mind-boggling to me. Like, it actually doesn't make any sense. Like, the quotes, I guess, I understand what happened with the quotes. But it actually doesn't make any sense, if that makes sense, where things were going well, so we went away from the game. Or we
one guy.
Not just we went away from the game plan. One guy went away from the game plan because things were going so well. That's insane to me.
Why would you get away from something that was going to lead to a win? I don't get it.
The closest thing I can think of, and this is not like a perfect comparison because it doesn't, well, a lot of times it doesn't like win and lose you games. It's just a thing that happens during a basketball game. Is was this the pitcher equivalent of a heat check moment where this was Fromber just pulling up from 30? Like he saw a couple go in, and now he thinks he's Steph Curry. Like I don't know what to compare this to. This is
and the
insane.
Problem is he pitched like he was Dion Waiters.
Yeah, that's
all
the thing.
Irrational confidence in the world, and understood because of how the game was going so far. And at some point, I mean, you regress to being Dion Waiters. And unfortunately, fortunately for us, Fromber has been a better pitcher when you make that comparison. But yeah, Steph Curry will get up a couple jumpers with two guys on the ball because he's hot. And Fromber, I guess, thought he was hot beyond compare. But you know what? Sometimes you get got, and he got got. And it wasn't just, you know, I'm going to follow a different game plan. The pitches were awful. Like, he didn't even execute what he wanted. That's actually the biggest problem beyond not following what he was supposed to. How easy those pitches were, just served up right over the plate, and the Angels hitters time after time drove those things out of the ballpark and changed what felt like a relatively comfortable Astros victory into a defeat. So they go down, they lose 9-7, and they did it in an inexplicable way. There's no reasoning behind it other than your pitcher just decided he wanted to do something different. And I guess you move on and you hope it doesn't occur again. But is it going to become a trend where these guys, particularly a guy like Verlander, you imagine maybe Fromber, after how that half inning went, he's going to decide maybe I shouldn't go against what the plan is. But I don't imagine Verlander is going to, because even he talked about it. After the game, he said, yeah, I'm going to put my head down on my pillow and feel fine. The guy had a great at bat, and he beat me. And this is a bit different because it wasn't over the course of multiple batters in the half inning, but the stubbornness I don't think is going to go anywhere for Verlander. He's just going to pitch the way he wants to, and I don't know if I can say Fromber's just going to, excuse me, Yiner's just going to sit behind the plate and watch it happen. But what's he going to do? I mean, Espada's not doesn't have the type of stroke to tell Verlander how to pitch, and really no major league manager has it at this point. There are no legends of the game currently managing that can tell Verlander, hey, cut that crap out. Pitch the way we would like you to get this guy out. He probably has free reign. And it didn't work out for him against Contreras, and for Fromber, it didn't work out for him against that Angels lineup, which he had handled up until that point. So they lose. They're now 21-27, 6 games back, and the insult to injury is the Mariners had a comeback victory. So if we care about the standings right now on May 21st, the Astros drop a game they shouldn't have dropped, and the Mariners came back to win a game that it looked, for all intents and purposes, like in Yankees win. So they win that game 5-4. I won't say they stretch their lead in May, but they do. But the Astros do drop a game as the Mariners score 4 in the top of the ninth to win. So 5-4, the final there. The Astros lose to 9-7, and they're 5 games back in third place. And they have the Angels again for the next two as they try to complete this homestand on a high note. Certainly started the series against the Angels on a low point, mostly because you can't even explain how it occurred. We'll continue to talk Astros, among other things. We'll get into some Texan stuff, too, as we go forward. But remember, we are out. The entire station is at Highland Pines. There is some debate about how long it takes to get here. If you are a member like John, it's like a quick ride. If you happen to be someone who only came here for work, like myself, it felt a little longer. Mostly because the reality is, depending on where you live, it may be longer than what it is for John, because as he would tell you, he's only 35 minutes away. But come out here, not today. The tournament is full. There's no room for you to play. But if you want, it's not just you don't have to be just a member. You can come out here and play for the day. But we are out here benefiting KidsMeals.inc. Excuse me, I keep saying that, KidsMealsInc.org. And we got plenty of sponsors to thank, and I'll keep talking about those going forward. But once again, Gentle Ben brings you your liquor. Carbach Brewing brings you your beer. And if you want to eat, or maybe not just here, but anytime, Cypress Trail Hideout providing great lunches. And if you love a good Tex-Mex, Valencia's is out here as well. The Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. So maybe you don't get to eat that here. But, hey, if you're out and about and you want to have a good lunch or dinner, those two provide a great meal for you. And you can hear probably over my mic. We're starting to get going here. So I think that's a warning for me to go to break, just to avoid what's going on right now. We'll come back after this. We'll continue to talk, as I mentioned, Astros, and we'll get into some Texans when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter. Here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Someone just walked up to me and said, Aqueduct Fleming, what's up, man? First he asked me if I was on, and he found out pretty quickly I am on. No hugs. Pat on the back is just fine. Appreciate it, as apparently that's going to be a thing all day long. We're out at Highland Pines for the occasional invitational. The station will be out here all day. I'm here till 12, and then Gallant and George, followed by the Killer Bees. It's a great day. People are milling about, getting ready to start. I think we get started officially at 10:30 as the players are warming up on the putting green. The hype around the Texans is certainly something to pay attention to, because we expect this team to be really good, but it's going to cost you. And I actually mean cost you, because the era of simply waiting to the last minute to buy cheap tickets on the resale market are over. Texans' resale ticket prices have gone up by over 146%. So if you're hoping to, you know, go to the Bears game on one of the resale sites and buy a couple tickets from there and take maybe a significant other, or maybe you're buying four because you want to take the family, it's going to cost you. 6% increase. And that's pretty – it doesn't surprise me. It's all because last year this team was coming off multiple awful seasons. Despite drafting C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson and having D'Amico Ryans, no one knew what this Texans team was supposed to be. If you're listening to people like me and others, this was going to be, what, a 6- or 7-win team at best? Questions about can the young quarterback adapt to the NFL? He wasn't the top choice. Everyone wanted Bryce Young. So the positivity surrounding the Texans was more than we had seen the previous couple of years, but no one was thinking about how good this team would be, and the ticker prices reflected it. Now it's different. The hype is going to be something that keeps building and building, and as far as people who are trying to find ways around the ticket prices on the official site, you can try, but you won't find much relief as Texans tickets will appear to be a hot ticket going forward. Now, I think it's going to be an entertaining product. So if you got a shot, go out there. I think they're going to provide a really great year for us, but it won't be on the cheap. And I imagine we'll see, just like any NFL team, that those ticket prices will continue to go up as long as the team keeps winning. The guys went through the schedule earlier today, and for the most part, the Texans are going to be favored, particularly in their home games. I think maybe only the Baltimore game was one where they weren't going to be favored even deep into the year, part of that three-game stretch in 10 days. I think the Dolphins, they're slightly favored over Baltimore as well. And then, not Baltimore. That's the only one where, if we're going by preseason expectations, expecting a loss on their home field. So positivity all around. It'll just cost you a little bit going forward. A couple things about the Astros before we move on from them, at least in the first hour. Buster Olney did a article or a piece on Josh Hader. Josh Hader, the multi-million-dollar signing that the Astros got done, surprisingly. I don't think he was on our radar. Maybe the most optimistic fan thought Josh Hader could be a possibility, but even he said he thought he was going to be a Texas Ranger before the contract, at least the contract he might have negotiated, fell through, and he becomes an Astro. Was it a panic buy because Kendall Graveman was out for the year? Possibly, but the Astros, their big splash in free agency was Josh Hader, and surprisingly enough, their best reliever, at least free agent acquisition, has been Taylor Scott so far. But Josh Hader, talked to Buster Olney, and a lot of the concern, or at least a lot of the talk about Josh Hader coming into the year, and maybe even at the beginning of the year, was that he did not pitch more than an inning, and he's talked about it, but now he's been pretty clear about why he doesn't do that. He doesn't do it, or at least he didn't do it, because he wanted a contract. He wanted to protect himself. He told Buster Olney that, yeah, people might think I'm selfish. People might think it's not the best way to go about it, but I had to protect myself, so that's why I was not going to pitch more than an inning anywhere until I got paid. He's gotten paid by the Astros, clearly, and now he's more open to doing it. And I joked about him being a me-first guy, and what are the Astros doing signing a me-first guy? All jokes. Don't look at me, John. Just go about your business. Don't look at me. Please, don't. But I do think it's funny. He was very open. Don't hand me a – I don't want a Coors Light. I'm doing a show. Move along. Go drink your beer. Have a good time, and don't bother me. John Granato, making him a part of my show because he hasn't had enough radio, I guess, for the morning. But I guess I respect the openness from Josh Hader. This is about me, and I'm going to get paid before I do things that could hurt my career. He hasn't been spectacular to start, but he's rounding into form. Sean, I think I would be the same. Particularly with baseball and arm injuries and what it might mean for your contract, I think if I did the research and it suggested that pitching more than one inning would keep me from getting my bag, I'd be like, you know what? I got about 15 pitches in me per outing, and I'm out.
Yeah, especially because in arbitration, what he was basically saying is that in arbitration, the first time they used his lack of saves against him in the negotiations, and so he said, okay, fine, I'm only a ninth inning guy now, and I'll just get as many saves as I can, and then I'll get paid. And, I mean, you can have your qualms with, and I think it's fair, especially, you know, if we're Brewers or Padres fans, to be like, that's kind of a weak sauce move to do as they one of the best pitchers in baseball. But now that he's on the Astros, and he already has that money locked up, and he's back to being a multi-inning guy when needed, I think it's something that we can all, at least here in Houston, be, yeah, no, that makes 100% sense. Why would you do it any other way? Protect yourself to get the big payday, and then you can go balls to the walls, especially in a situation where the Astros find themselves now, where they need every inning they can get out of a good pitcher, which the Hader, after his rough start, has really kind of proven himself to be.
Yeah, what we expected him to be. And you mentioned the Brewers and the Padres. Well, Joe Musgrove, a former Astro, talked about it. He didn't mention Josh Hader by name, but earlier in the year, he talked about how great it was to have a guy in the back end of the bullpen who would go more than an inning. And it was clear it was a shot at Hader for Hader's stance. And it reminds me of the discussions that, like, tight ends who are more pass catchers than they are tight ends, like they're more receivers than tight ends, or even the defensive end who maybe cast as an outside linebacker before, like, the term edge became more popular, to maybe avoid some of those distinctions, that a defensive end, an outside linebacker who was strictly a pass rusher was getting less than a defensive end, even though they did the same thing. But it depended if they played in a 3-4 or not, or 4-3. So I could see Josh Hader's move. Hey, man, you are keeping me from making more money because I don't get as many saves. So make me strictly a closer, and that's it, because you are finding ways around giving me my money. And to the Astros' benefit, that is now out of the equation. It's just too bad, so sad for the Brewers and the Padres that don't get the benefit from him getting more than three outs per outing. But I did find it interesting, the honesty on his part. And you know what? Once you get paid, you can be as honest as you want, particularly if you are now doing the thing people wanted you to do. Yeah, there were no qualms from him. I'm no faking it. I'm not pitching unless I get a save, because you're going to take the money away from me and use it against me either way. And it's just the business of baseball. It happens, and the Astros are benefiting from it, particularly in the last three or so weeks. Josh Hader's become the pitcher the Astros expected him to be. Remember, if you are a listener to the station, and if you want to support the charities we support, go to kidsmealsinc.org. We are out here for the occasional invitational benefiting that charity. The name is what it is. They're feeding kids, and who can have a problem with that? John. Maybe John, because he made a joke about it earlier. You'd have to have heard it, because I can't do it justice. All jokes, though. But some of the other people who are out here helping us out, Caldwell Companies, Access Vascular. You hear John talk about them. And Bull Shirts, Great Plate, Houston Powder Coaters, Pick Me Events. Thanks to Michael for coming out here. He's a guy that you want to find for your parties. You can take those funny pictures you see. They used to be something that would print out, but now they're all digital. You can put them up on Instagram or other places. Pick Me Events will do that for you. And X-Golf Katie is a sponsor of a hole out here as well. So we appreciate all our sponsors. We appreciate the people who signed up to come play. And I appreciate you for listening. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
The Del Olalea Show continues, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter. Now back to Del Olalea.
Sean, among others, has noticed not a bullhorn, but the speakers going off behind us, at least behind me as I talk. No, they're not calling out lunch orders. I don't know the terminology because I'm not a golfer, but I think it's just letting people know that, hey, it's time to play, I guess. So, yes, if you're tweeting me or you're listening and you hear that, yeah, trust me, I hear it too. But hey, this is what happens when you're outside at a golf course for a tournament. Things like that happen. And none of these people are in view anymore. They're off the putting green. They're actually out there playing and on the hole. So I can't give updates on what people are wearing or how bad someone is at putting from 5 feet away. And by the way, a lot of those guys are pretty bad. They're amateurs. What do you expect? So I will continue to give updates if I need to. But you'll probably hear them. You'll probably hear all the updates going forward because, yeah, the speakers are pretty loud. There was a story in The Athletic, and it profiled Rafael Stone. Rafael Stone coming up on another draft where the Rockets have a surprisingly top five pick. Just worked out that way. They own Brooklyn's pick, and now they have a top five pick. A lot of the storylines surrounding the draft about how bad it is and where you're not going to find a top level talent. And of course, Rafael Stone's doing his very best to talk that down, play that down a little bit, because one of the questions asked of him in the article was about the level of talent in the draft. Of course, he talked about how talented it was. There's some questions about how this organization is run. Is Ime Udoka a larger voice than you might imagine, and or is it more collaborative? And Rafael Stone just said, hey, their philosophy is they're out to get good players, and specifically with the draft. They aren't looking for a particular type of guy, because the conversations are always about who's a good fit. I don't know if the Rockets are in a spot where they can just go, hey, this guy fits our roster better than others. We're going to pass on a more talented player because this guy fits a role. Hey, you're a middling 500 basketball team. Should you be worried about roles right now, particularly if it's just a younger player you're drafting? I could see it if you were in line to go get yourself a star, and certainly they have the draft capital and the young players to go do it. But if we're simply talking about the draft, just go draft a good player. It'll all work itself out. And you know what? What's the worst thing that happens? You hit on a gem that's better than a lot of people think, and then you go trade one of the guys who's currently in your roster. The roster glut will be a conversation for quite a bit because everyone looks at all these guys and goes, that's a talent. That's a talent. How are we going to get him minutes? Honestly, there's a difference between an 82-game player and a 16-game player, which is the number of games you have to win to go win a title. Some guys are going to be fine 82-game players, but the Rockets and really any team who wants to go win a title needs to go find 16-game players, and I'm not sure we know who those guys are right now, so why make a real determination on who fits the roster or not? And there's more in the article, but we've discussed it on this show about what do the Rockets do with the third overall pick. Is it a move that fast forwards their rebuild, or are they still slow and steady? We know that Oklahoma City, you want to point to them, or you want to point to Minnesota's teams that were young who made giant leaps in a short amount of time. Well, outside of Karl Anthony Towns, he's been on a team that's been pretty bad or average for a lot of his career. But you think about Anthony Edwards at 22. And obviously the trade for Rudy Gobert has worked out great. And Oklahoma City, the way they drafted, how they've accelerated their timeline. And then they made the big trade now years ago now when they brought in Shea. And Shea's been around a long time. People don't think of him as old, and he's not, but he's in his mid-20s now. So the development of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has taken a bit for him to become an MVP candidate. He wasn't that when he immediately got to OKC. He was deferring to Chris Paul in the year Chris Paul was there and others. So sometimes it takes time. But for the Rockets, I can feel a sense of urgency because of the jump in wins and the money you're paying to veterans like Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, and now you're bringing on Steven Adams. So I do wonder if Ime Udoka's want and his want to win is going to push the Rockets into a spot where they're moving faster than maybe they even thought they would. You're adding veterans to be competitive, and they were. And are you going to tell some of your young players who maybe could develop into stars to say, hey, we appreciate you, we think you're talented, but we're ready to win now? So we've talked about this before. But, Sean, let's talk about team building and where you sit, because I am one who maybe wrongfully loves to win with the guys who I drafted or my team drafted. I would love to be someone who goes, I'm not in that built not bought stuff, but if we draft talented players and they're really good, I think it feels great to watch those guys grow up and win. I mean, we have the Astros as an example. Now, they made some great trades, the Justin Verlander one being the one at front of mind. They make that trade, and he puts them over the top in 17. Now, certainly, we considered Yordan one of our own, but he was a trade, too. But, you know, for the most part, the bulk of that roster, the strength of that roster, who we depend on day-to-day are guys that were drafted. So if I gave you the choice, Sean, I think a title is a title, but would you prefer the Rockets to do it through the draft and watch those guys grow, or do you want to fast forward this thing?
I mean, a title is a title is the answer. I don't think – I'm not sure how much fast forwarding really needs to be done. I think it just it's just another impact I guess impact veteran, but even that, we're talking about, you know, the guy who's been talked about the most is Donovan Mitchell, who's like 27. So I'm not asking for a whole bunch of Shane Battiers back. It's just, that's really what this team needs, and it really goes to the point that they have a core six, and that's already a lot of young players.
There's no such thing as a core six.
That's the name.
They're not
for
good. I know what they're calling
them,
but they're not
right now. That call them a core six.
Trust me, I am aware of Rockets Twitter, but the core six is nonsense. They're not good enough to be a core six. And as you've talked about, only five of them play at a time. So sure, you can have six young players that you think can contribute. But they're not a core, because a core means you are someone or players you can lean on to go win a title. And I don't think they have a guy right now that has clearly made that statement that I am a 16-game player. And until they start finding those, you can just comfort yourself with you're pretty good at the draft. But I don't know if the core six is a real thing.
No, and that's why there needs to be some – or there doesn't need to be, but at some point, it doesn't need to be this offseason. I guess it doesn't need to be this offseason. But at some point, there will be a consolidation of this core six, because guess what? They can't all hit, because A, only five of them can play at the same time. And even if they do all hit, you definitely can't pay them all. That's just absolutely impossible to do, is to pay six guys max contracts or near max contracts if they all pan out. So there will be some separating of the core six at some point, that it will be whittled down to three or four. And in the meantime, while you're in this position where you have yet to pay any of them, you can add in someone who is that star level and hope to really kind of hit the gas on not just next year. You know, the next step is to be a play-in team and to earn your stripes there and be a 7 seed and lose to the 2 seed Timberwolves or whatever. There's a chance this offseason to add someone who takes you into that like 5-6 seed range, where you don't have to go through the play-in. And I mean, heck, depending on how well it fits together, maybe we're talking about a 3 or 4 seed team, like, I don't know, Minnesota Timberwolves, with a best player who's drafted in 2020, where you're looking at the Rockets with the two best players, or the two young stars, the two pillars of this rebuild that were drafted in 2021. So to think that you can become basically a year behind version of the Timberwolves, now it might be a little crazy, but it's not completely baseless.
Yeah, who on the Rockets is going to be compared to the best player of all time? To fast forward their process, because that's what Anthony Edwards is and what he has to deal with, even though he would ask that you not. To your point of being aggressive, Rafael Stone was asked about, will their season, this past season, push them to a spot where they would be extra aggressive to try to make the playoffs and maybe fast forward this rebuild. And he says, we're comfortable with the team right now, and they're going to try to improve internally. It just got golfers yelling at me. Because of that, they don't think they're going to be super aggressive, according to him. So that could be just a ploy, just not to show all their cards. But if we're going to take him at his word, he's saying internal improvement is what they're looking for, and don't look for them to be extremely aggressive in the trade market. We'll see. Certainly they're not going to appear to be desperate. They're going to allow the market to come to them. And if there's a distressed asset, and what I mean by that is a guy who wants out, a guy who is not going to sign an extension, so the team needs to make a move to get something for him before he hits free agency, and there's a pretty clear player I'm referencing with that. If that particular player says Houston's one of my top spots and maybe he makes it clear that he wants to be in Houston, then you might be able to take advantage of the situation and not give up everything to make the move happen. So it'll be a cagey offseason. The Rockets waiting to make a move to see if one of those guys kind of shakes loose and says, give me Houston because that's where I want to be. So it'll be a discussion we're going to be having throughout. We'll see. I think a clear inflection point, is the draft. If they take and keep the third pick, it may change how we view the offseason. Maybe internal improvement is what they're going to be banking on, as opposed to trading away a couple picks and a player or two to go get themselves a star. It's not a definite, but you would think the third overall pick in what is considered a weak draft might be used to make a move. So we will go to break here. But before I do that, actually, the MyBookie is a little later. So before I do that, I won't do a MyBookie, but I will tell you about our sponsors out here. We're at the Occasional Invitational. The station will be out here all day. We're at Highland Pines. Great-looking golf course. I've always said, nothing wrong with the golf course. It's just what's being done on it. It's a great place if we're going to make it a national park. But Highland Pines is out here. Beautiful place. People are enjoying their time out here. And at some point, you should as well. I want to thank Carbach Brewing and Gentle Ben for sponsoring the tournament. And this benefits Kids Meals. Go to kidsmealsinc.org if you want to help out as well. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter, for the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational. Now here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back. I think our phones are back. I mean, normally phones aren't used when we're out on a remote, but if you want to call in, we'll get to you. You can call in at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We've went two whole shows and really three days overall at this point without a Ryan call. So if Ryan wants to ask the questions he likes to ask under a different name, he can do that. If he wants, or anybody else, Eric, I know you always have an Astros question. So we welcome the calls now that the phone lines are back and running. Sean, where do you stand on sports docs? Are you a fan? Do you not care? Do you go by word of mouth as far as paying attention to them?
Definitely the latter. I'm not in on every single sports doc. I'm not watching one every 2 weeks because that's when they come out. They come out just all the time now, especially the ones that are pretty clearly vanity projects of the subject of the documentary. Think the Tom Brady one, the Derek Jeter one from a couple years ago. There's some that are just, I'm just out sight unseen, or I see the first little bit of it, I'm like, no thanks.
This is where I stand on the Celtics All-In Doc. If you don't know what it is, brought to you by FanDuel. It is simply a doc that is reporting on or documenting the Celtics' run to what they hope is a title. I'm out. Is there a Celtic that's interesting? I can't think of one. Jason Tatum's corny, and you don't know why I call him corny. It's not just because it's hate. It is because he is a man who has decided to text Kobe Bryant after he was dead. If you don't know that, just find Tatum and Kobe. He idolizes him to a point where it's a little weird, and he actually posted that now that he had Kobe's number, after the man had passed away, he was going to text him and talk about Mamba mentality or something like that. So I'm out on Tatum. Jaylen Brown, same. I don't know much about Derek White. Don't think I care that much. Kristaps Porzingis, no one's going to ask him the questions they should be asking him about that incident when he was still a Knick. That's not going to get asked on a documentary that the Celtics are hosting on their own YouTube channel. Get out of here. John and Lance have just pulled up. No, I don't want any Gentle Ben. Just because that's water. beat it. He doesn't know. He didn't know what Liquid Death is. He thought it was a chaser, I guess, for Gentle Ben, which is a great product. I'm just not doing it or drinking it on the show. So back to where I was. I can't think of a Celtic that I'd look forward to hearing. Joe Mazzulla? No.
I'm interested in Mazzulla.
Why? Because he's going to talk about the town for again and again.
Generally, an insane person.
Yeah. Okay, maybe.
You know, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Houser,
Luke Cornett.
Yeah, Luke Cornett. I feel like I have a lot in common with those guys.
Why?
You know, white guys who like basketball.
Well, no, they play basketball. There's a difference.
Oh, they like they play, it too.
They play it on the professional level.
They like gotta it.
That's a weak connection between you and them. White guys who like basketball. None of them went to Texas, so that would have been a stronger connection than what you made.
There really isn't that, like, I guess the, no, because it's not going to be, like, a actual documentary or, dramatic movie or TV show would be where it's interesting, like, the stakes of if they win or lose, but, I don't know, it's not really going to be that.
Yeah, but we're watching them. But we're watching them win or lose. We don't need. Do I need to watch the doc about the behind the scenes of them winning or losing, particularly at the like a week after the games are being shown?
It's also because not really going to be like The Last Dance, too.
No,
it's like big dramatic moments. It's going to be. Oh man, we lost game two to every team that we've played so far.
Yeah. Oh no, Tyler Hero went for a near triple double against us. We lost game two. And then we went on to smoke that team in five. There's not a lot of drama around the Celtics, and particularly something that's produced by them along with FanDuel. But that's out there. If you care a lot, I like basketball to a great extent, but not enough to watch the Celtics stock in real time as they try to make it to the finals. I'm sure Celtics fans will love it. That's what fans of teams do. They eat everything up.
I don't know if I would watch it if I was a Celtics fan and they lose. I would definitely not watch it.
Yeah. If they wind. Now, they're happening. Like, I think episode two is out now, so there's no negatives to hide from. But, yeah, if it gets to episode four and the Pacers take them out in six, yeah, I wouldn't watch it either. I never watch a documentary of my team losing. Why would I do that? I already suffered through it once.
You did?
The games themselves. I've already suffered through them. Why would I want to go relive those moments?
I was trying to think, like, there's not a doc about, like, a team losing. That does.
No.
Has that ever? I don't think that's ever. That's probably happened, but I can't think of one off the top of my head where there's a documentary. Because, like, Friday Night Lights, don't they lose? Or one of the football movies, they lose.
They do lose, but even in that one, in the movie, not the TV show. In the movie, they lose in the title game, and I think they actually lost in the semifinals, I believe.
Oh, so even then,
in real life, they made it more dramatic.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how many like true story movies or docs that we get where the team loses at the end.
No, only if it's like episode one of a to set up them winning. The next year, like a redemption story.
Yeah,
I'm sure
the first episode of, the second episode of the Last Dance, where it's like they lose to the Celtics or the Pistons in 1989. Oh well, dang. I guess that's it. No, there's eight more episodes about how they win.
Yeah, I'm sure Virginia, the basketball team, has a documentary about them overcoming the loss to UMBC in the first round of the one and then going back and winning it. They're not making a doc if they don't win the title the next year to memorialize them losing as a one. So, yeah, you're right. You don't see a lot of those.
Did the Atlanta Falcons have
No. Well, I say no because I'm just assuming. I can't. Who with the Falcons is saying, let's have people remember us losing 28-3. They don't need the help. They remind us of it all the time.
No, I don't
it's
think
it's everywhere.
I don't think Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan are tripping over themselves to sit down and do. Well, here's how it went wrong from my perspective. like these two guys that still have to work in the NFL. Be like, yeah, honestly, just forgot you can run the ball. Whoops, my bad.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's too busy wearing off-brand Washington Commander shirts and then realizing it's a mistake after he has a talk with the Commander's brass about, hey, could you not wear unofficial things that bring up notes of racism that we're trying to disassociate ourselves from? Hey, could you stop doing that?
In the documentary, he's sitting down and his T-shirt's blurred out.
And we all know why. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders, hopefully, at least for their sake, the Jaden Daniels era is what they have been over the last, well, since pretty much since the last decade or so, really since the RG3 injury. But the era of Jaden Daniels begins, and hopefully for them, it's positive. We got a lot of young quarterbacks in this league. Some of them will play early, some of them won't. Jaden Daniels looks like one who probably will start opening day for the Commanders. We're up against it. We are 1 hour in. We are at Highland Pines for the occasional invitational. It is the 97.5 and 92.5 golf tournament benefiting KidsMealsInc.org. We got plenty of great sponsors out here. I just had lunch from Cypress Trail Hideout, and by had lunch, I wolfed down a brisket sandwich during the break to avoid eating it on air. Nice job, Cypress Trail Hideout. You make a good sandwich. So if you have the chance to stop by, not here, but they serve food, you know, at their brick-and-mortar store, check them out. And also, dinner, I won't be here for that, but the other shows will be here for Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. I've had food from them before. They do a great job as well. So it's a good time out here, particularly if you love golf and you love Highland Pines. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.